And we are on the air for this Wednesday, March the 3rd, 2021. 14 coming up on 15 minutes past the hour. Scott Spears along with you, Glenn Koval, for the big program today. And tonight is the big opening. Grand is not right, and I keep saying that. Seasonal opening of Stewart's Root Beer. The longest continuing running restaurant in Marion's history, I believe.
Wow.
Yeah, I think so. And so tonight, from 6 to 8 p.m., Nate will be on the air here. He'll be the anchor of that broadcast, and he will be on the air. And he'll throw it over to us at Stewart's, and we will be over there live, myself, Abby, Angie, Michelle, and Mary Ellen Withrow. We did that last year, and it turned out great. Mary Ellen, it's always a great time with her. So stay tuned, and the phone's ringing already. Ringing already. Go ahead, caller.
Oh, hi.
How you doing?
You're talking about restaurants.
Talking about what?
Are you talking about restaurants this hour?
Well, we can. What restaurant you want to talk about?
Now, before I shut the radio off, I just overheard that you was talking about Stewart's.
Yeah, grand opening. Our season opening today.
Season opening, yeah.
Are they opening up today?
Opening up today.
Ah.
It's springtime.
Yeah, hold on a minute. I put you on speaker because it's like it's easier to listen to you.
No problem. You just...
Now, I was just concerned. I mean, I heard what you said last. I mean, that's a real big stir up, almost $1.5 million.
Yeah, but, well, you know, but as the mayor said, and we do have to go with what the mayor said here, he needs to get some information about when did the auditor know about this, what did he know, is it legal to make the payment to the IRS without going to city council? There are some questions that have to be answered.
Well, I mean, this is not the only thing that went on, though. I mean, from what I understand of it, it was like they also made one mistake when the person in question had just started working, when they didn't put in the what did they do? Basically, the Department of Sanitation charged everybody a late fee because. The people that paid in those weren't put in as paid before the deadline, so everybody got hit with a late charge, and that's what I heard anyway.
I hadn't heard that one.
No, I haven't heard that one, but I don't know.
Yeah, that was back in January. I think it was back in January of 2020 when they started their term.
Yeah.
And then there's the one question I guess I would like to ask, is the charges that they're, I mean, is that over with?
Against the auditor?
Well, yeah.
My understanding, last I knew, they were still pending, that the special prosecutor had been brought in, and I think he's formulating a case. I don't think a court date has been set. I don't know that for sure, but I don't think it's over.
Well, they haven't talked about it much because, I mean, I imagine COVID had a lot to do with it, but it's just, you know, that's still out there. It's like, are they going to wait for 4 years and then finally follow through with it? I mean, I didn't think it was that, well, considering who they were listening to at the time, I mean, I wouldn't have listened to the former, what was that, the former GOP chairman?
Yeah, John Matthews.
I think I would have taken everything that he said with a grain of salt.
Well, I don't know that he had anything, we really don't know what happened there, to be honest. We don't know that John Matthews directed that. I don't know that he did, because there were other Republicans campaigning for city council and positions, mayor at that time, and I don't think they did this. So I can't say that John Matthews had anything to do from that end. I don't know.
But wasn't it wasn't it considered illegal to use a copy of a voting form?
Yeah, that's... I believe only the auditor, the gentleman running for auditor, who became auditor, Landon, did that. I don't think any of the other Republican candidates did that, and John Matthews was not running for any office.
True, that's true, but there were four names on that list, weren't there? I mean, it just wasn't his.
What do you mean? Four names on...
Landon, I mean, there were four other names on that list. I mean, that was on the billboard. That was on the billboard downtown. I mean, they put a billboard up there.
Four names on the campaign literature?
No, that was on a voting form. Vote for these. I didn't think that they could do that.
Well, I think the issue came with who passed them out. I think that's what it was.
Yeah, it didn't have anything to do with the people that were involved in that. That they were probably just put on there as the slate of people.
Well, I think the crime here is not making them; it's distributing them.
Mm-hmm. That's right. I believe.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. It didn't make a whole lot of sense to me. people have done stuff that was considered illegal. I mean, there was this one, I guess there was this one case where it was over a hat that basically said, didn't say, it didn't have the word elect on it, elect this person for this office. It said, it basically didn't have the word elect on it, and this is 20 years ago, the GOP chairman then took, wanted an apology, the person gave it, and he took him to the safe anyway.
Yeah, there's some really picayune rules about that. When I was running, somebody said I had on my signs, I said the wrong thing. Well, I called the Secretary of State, and the Secretary of State told me no, it was okay. It was unusual the way I put it on there, but it was okay. So yeah, there are a lot of really stupid rules about the minute things.
The thing I was getting at is that particular GOP chairman back in 2000 was Cuddy, and the state told him that.
Hmm.
I guess they decided in favor of the person that he was after, told him not to bring any more of this down to the state, or they was going to sit there and fight it. Hmm. And you know, I mean, they were real. It was like he asked for an apology, he got it. They made the change, and he took them anyway. He took them down there and filed charges on them anyway. And it's like, I mean, you got what you wanted, and you still wanted to sit there and burn.
Got to get a pound of flesh.
Yeah, well, you can't trust anybody like that after that. After they do that, it's like, well, take me down to state. You're going to do it anyway.
Yeah.
So I'll just put my ducks in a row, and I'll go down to state, and I'll fight you down there. You can't trust anybody. You can't trust a word after that. I don't know. I was just... It seems like there's still controversy in regards to the auditor's decision, but it almost seems in a way that he's getting knocked on because there's also other people that they left their positions or were removed from their positions, and they ended up with bigger positions with more money in the city.
Now, who are you referring to?
Oh, I prefer not to say. But that was a big issue in city council back when we had city council before COVID hit. Now we're watching it on the stream. Or are they still having public meetings? From what I understand, they're not.
No, I believe they're still Zoom.
Yeah, so they're not gonna. I don't imagine that's gonna happen for a long time if we ever are allowed to get that back. And I mean, other states, including ours, are starting to lift restrictions on that now. And so I'm thinking, you know, if we wear a mask, why can't we go into City Hall during those meetings and sit there and be able to do what we did before and question them directly? I mean, it almost feels like, you know, the city government has been taken from us, and they can do pretty much whatever they want.
Well, it is a time to be very, for all citizens, Democrat, Republican, Independent, to be very aware of the different rules that are. Somebody said there are over 100 new rules, voting rules, now being put out, and they're unfortunately. I'm sorry.
I mean, in the state or in the city?
No, throughout the United States. Just trying to stop all of our opportunity to vote. I think they're trying to say, we're smarter than you, and we should run the place. You citizens, be quiet.
Yeah, well, that's obvious in Washington. I mean, they've got it to ring of steel, the cold they could smell. So, I mean, whose bright idea was that? I mean, they're still there. Even after the riot, they're still there. And from what we understand now, they can't even feed the troops that are there right. They give them spoiled or raw chicken. And I'm telling you, it's like raw chicken. I've had that happen. I've had food poisoning before. There's restaurants that I will not go to again because of that. I mean, it's a nasty situation. You know, I survived it without having to go into the ER, but it's a 24-hour thing. And feeding people raw chicken, they nailed it down to a contractor before. It's like, the contractor ought to be investigated and removed, but they're not doing that. So that means that they're still doing it to them. I mean, you know, you don't feed the soldiers that are protecting the Capitol raw chicken.
You don't feed anybody raw chicken.
Well, they call it, I guess you call it undercooked. It's almost the same thing. So,
you must be outside. There's a lot of noise coming across your microphone.
Yeah, it's the wind. Winds are coming across. Yeah. And, I mean, I just got back in. I was, now that the snow is gone, I've got a lot of catch up to do. And
there you go.
That's what I'm now doing.
All right.
So, you're hearing the wind.
Well, we thank you for calling in. Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
All right.
Have a good day.
And again, the phone lines are open. If the line's ringing busy, means we're on the line with somebody else. So call back in, 740-383-9944.
That's something I say on my A Progressive Life every week. The citizens, and I don't care what your politics are, the citizens have to be aware. You have to keep yourself informed. Like this caller, he's informed. Now, he may be informed a different way than you are, but he's informed, and that's what we need to do. And we have to do it at the local level as well. Boy, you've had a day.
It's been a day, but it's been a very good day, because I think those are questions that needed to be answered.
Yeah.
And the mayor is the chief executive of this city, and we need to know what he thought of this particular situation, and we did not know, and now we know.
And recovering from COVID is a huge bombshell.
Yeah, that was just out of the blue.
Yeah.
I don't think we knew about that, but now we do.
I hope his family's okay. I know his wife, and I have met his daughter once, I think, and I hope they're all
He had
fine.
Said his daughters had it. Okay. His wife did not.
Good.
And I think everybody's okay at this point.
Cool.
He said just not back up to full energy, but he did have it.
Yeah. My wife just got her notification that she gets her first shot on Thursday. I've already had my first shot. I'm looking forward to my second in less than 2 weeks.
There you go.
Yeah.
We're going to go to break here in about 30 seconds, come back with much more program here on WWGH Radio. And tonight, I guess the G stands for good hot dogs at the root beer stand, which is where we will be from 6:15 until 8 p.m. with Mary Ellen Withrow, Abby Angie and Michelle. So that is the way it will go. Caller, hold the line. We're going to break here for 60 seconds and come back with you after this short but important break here on WWGH Radio. Don't go anywhere.
Scott, you know we hear so much about Bernie Sanders being a socialist, but actually one of the first big socialists to run for president came from right here in Marion, Ohio.
Oh, yes, Norman Thomas.
Yes, and did you know Norman Thomas also sold ice cream?
No, I didn't know that.
Yes, he was the first ice cream socialist.
WWGH Radio, 107.1 FM. Don't miss it.
Opiates has taken everything and everyone I've ever loved away from me. Everything.
I blew my ankle out and I got prescribed pain pills by my doctor.
If making my detox public is going to help somebody, I'm all for it. I just wish I would have had a warning.
Opioid dependence can happen after just 5 days. Know the truth, spread the truth. A message from Truth, the Ad Council, and ONDCP.
Scott and Glenn back with you here on Wednesday morning, March the 3rd, 2021. 31 minutes past the hour, and we're going to go to our caller. Go ahead, caller.
Good morning, boys. How are you today?
Good morning. How are you?
Nice weather we're having, huh?
Yeah, not bad at
much
all.
Much better, much better.
It's, if you don't like the weather in Ohio, just wait 24 hours, it'll change.
Absolutely.
So we have mostly sunny weather and temperatures 5 to 10 degrees above normal for the next few days. So
wow, good. We'll take
Don't get out the swim trunks, but, you know, having grown up near the Canadian border for a few years, if it's above freezing, I wear shorts, and I think the somewhat summer clothing is calling my name today.
I don't go out and run unless it gets above 50, outside, and unless it gets above 50. I do my treadmill thing, so.
I want to let you guys know the interview with your fellow Scott S.
The mayor.
Right. Well, Scott S. must be a common name for important people in this town. It's on the website, as is the previous hour.
Cool.
So we're pretty quick in getting stuff available. It was an excellent interview, Scott, and you kept your cool really well. I've said this before, but I think a certain congressman, one who also has initials that are the same first and last, could learn a lesson from our mayor and how to conduct an interview, how to provide good professional answers and invite dialogue. What a difference in courtesy and the way that these people conduct themselves. So you probably would agree with me, Glenn. Do you agree?
Absolutely. Courtesy is premier, especially in radio.
I mean, the certain congressman who shares his name with a certain basketball legend.
I knew who you were talking about.
he also tried to play baseball and found out that it's a very different sport. But, I mean, certainly man that I admire. I find myself agreeing with some of his viewpoints, but he's so objectionable in terms of how he's conducted himself. And, you know, this scandal here, which we could spend a whole month of shows on, that you're kind of torn. And you look at the human being, you know, and Dr. Feynman and I have talked about this, Glenn. We love Reagan as a man, great sense of humor, just some of his viewpoints, some of the actions taken during his administration we are hardly fans of. But that's kind of
sure.
kind of how politics goes.
Yep, it is.
Look at the person, you know, man, woman, look at viewpoints, look at what happened, and look at how people are receiving what this politician does.
Keep your ears and brain open.
Yeah, I mean, one of the Democratic gubernatorial candidates, Mayor Scott, was thought of as the lieutenant governor. I think he'd be a good lieutenant governor.
Yeah.
He's a good age. He's early, mid-50s, I believe, and he's a very moderate Democrat, again, with a smaller city mayor. You can't really look at the political party. It's a nonpartisan job.
Right.
And that he conducted himself well in an area that is mostly Republican. And, you know, you didn't tell me, Glenn, I wouldn't even know what party Scherzer was. And that's important. There's no political party if you're the governor of mayor of Marion.
Mm-hmm.
Bit of a tongue twister. So, learning to like the guy and the way he conducts himself and always congenial, and it's good that Scott had him on with an exclusive interview, but that's kind of how we roll here at the station. But the interview is on the website, and we invite people to listen to it. It's educational, inform your own opinion, and if you have some feedback on the opinion, or you agree or don't agree, you know what our phone number is, 383-WWGH.
Hey, thanks for getting that on so fast, Adam.
Yeah,
that's really good.
For you, Mr. Former Political Candidate, all this cancel culture is getting a lot of postings on social media, including by myself, and I'm certainly not a fan of it.
I had to look it up. I didn't know what it was.
It's the Dr. Seuss thing. Well, it's the word of the decade. This Dr. Seuss stuff. I mean, GMAB is about what I have to say. You could find any publication to be objectionable, and that's kind of what people have joked about. Welcome to the United States of America. How can we offend you today? You're certainly to the left of me, Glenn, although we agree on many issues. I mean, pro-choice being one where we agree completely. But we don't agree on some of the other issues.
That's fine.
I don't see you as someone in favor of this censorship, this book banning, this book burning. I get the feeling we're probably in accord on this. Would you care to comment?
I'm not quite sure what you're referring to.
Well, Dr. Seuss has been considered offensive, though the president is not mentioning, I guess, Dr. Seuss's birthday. I grew up watching on TV and reading Dr. Seuss. You probably did also.
Sure. Now,
I love rhymes and puns, and he's so big with that. People wear those hats. And suddenly, Dr. Seuss is considered to be objectionable, to be racist.
Three weeks ago, I think it was, maybe it was 2 weeks ago, I read five of his books on the air, because I think he has a lot to say to the public. One of the books that I read on the air, the entire book I read, was the Mulberry Street book, and that's one of the six that have been criticized. And so I had to go back and look at it. I had to look really hard to find out why it was criticized, but I guess I understand.
Yeah, do you agree? Do you think it's getting out of hand? Do you think we need to look at every book, especially children's books, because children are so impressionable?
I'm an old white guy, so I'm going to plead the fifth there. I'm not really sure whether I agree or disagree on it.
We have to look at different viewpoints. I mean, they've taken Gone with the Wind. I mean, so many movies, books for children and adults. And you go through it with a fine-tooth comb, Glenn, almost anything is offensive.
Yeah,
and
I agree.
I get offended at some of this stuff, but some just get out of hand. So, yeah, pleading the fifth is fine. Did you want to comment, Scott? I know you're good at pleading the fifth in your own creative way. But
no, about Dr. Seuss, is that what...
Well, yeah, and again, cancel culture in general. I mean, we are radio hosts. We like freedom of the press and freedom of expression, but we understand within reason.
Here's what I don't understand, and I had this conversation with the pastor, Pastor Whitaker, last Friday about the Mr. Potato Head controversy, which these both fall in the same category to me as just...
They're very, very similar.
Slow news days, I think, is what we're talking about here. But what I would say is that I think what I don't understand is, okay, the people who expressed that they are having a problem with Dr. Seuss are using their First Amendment right. And
exactly.
So I don't know why people have such a problem with people doing that, because that's for you to say you think they're wrong and for them to say they think they're right and that the books should not be sold, or I'm not even sure what they want at this point. That's what it's all about.
That's what's great about this country is our freedom of speech and your right to your own opinion.
Well, when I was a kid, Uncle Remus was a popular book, and I must admit, I'm an old white guy, like I said, and when I started reading Uncle Remus a second time because I heard that it was not a good reading, it was good reading, but it was there were very racist things in it, yes.
Well, I'll tell you, and I don't know if it still goes on, and this is my opinion, and I don't mind having an opinion on this issue, because to me it's one of those potato head things, but there was a radio station in town here at one point, and I'll never say who or what, because I don't want to diminish anybody, but they were airing classic radio shows, mm-hmm. and one of the shows they were airing was Amos and Andy,
mm-hmm.
and I thought to put that on the air. You know, it's all right if you want to listen to it on your computer. It's all right if you want to buy a record. It's all right if you want to do it in that way. But to put that on the public airwaves for public consumption in 2020, 2019, 2018, I got a problem with that. What, I think that's not good.
Was there no disclaimer before it saying this is something you may find offensive?
I never heard it. I just saw it advertised.
Okay. Hmm. Interesting.
I mean, the line has to be drawn somewhere, but...
I guess.
I like his rhymes. I like the art in the books. And sometimes with the cancel culture, like a lot of things, when you give them an inch, they take a mile.
Well, that's true.
That's kind of what I'm seeing. Amos and Andy, I agree. But that's a totally different league.
See, I don't know... But again, that's just my opinion, and obviously the person who runs that station felt differently from me, and maybe the people who listened to it felt differently than me.
Some people could assume that that was classic radio, and it is classic radio, but it is offensive. If I were African American, I would probably be offended.
But they're in different leagues altogether, and yeah, there is classic. Can we learn from our mistakes?
Yeah.
The other side of it. But the Dr. Seuss thing, and I will say there's a lot of cute rhymes coming up were associated with the cancel culture, with the masks. I posted one myself, and not surprisingly, people who think it's crazy, people that love it, people that have shared it. But that's good. Like with many things, you know, gone on in the last couple of years, it brings dialogue and causes people to share their opinions and.
Mm-hmm.
Intelligent people, we should analyze, delineate, and kind of make a wrong line. Just say, well, I have something to do, and I won't be involved.
Well, I'll tell you my biggest problem with the Amos and Andy thing, and you know, because a lot of people have said, well, do you think Jack Benny should not be put over the airwaves because of Rochester?
He was black, though.
He was.
The actor.
Well, yeah, well, right, but here, it's not even, and yes, there is a problem with the fact that they were played by two white guys on the radio, but that's even not the issue, because we don't know that, the listening audience doesn't know that all these years later. The problem is the jokes in that show, if you're laughing at that, it was made as a comedy show.
Right.
It was made as a comedy show making fun of a dialect that African-American people don't speak like, and it was making fun of a culture. That's clearly what that show was doing. So if you're laughing at if you're putting that on as classic radio now as comedy, and people are still laughing at that, that's not funny.
Well,
it's not a funny show.
One of the standard jokes in that show is that all black people are lazy. And
lackadaisical.
Lackadaisical is probably a very...
You know,
ignorant way.
Rochester. Yeah. Now, Rochester did speak in a different type of way, but Rochester, if you listen to Jack Benny's show, was the smartest person in the room.
Absolutely.
Kind of like Benson later on.
Yeah, right.
Benson, especially. I mean, talk about a smart, crafty guy, and using his craft to benefit people and benefit the. Yeah, of course, it was just a show. Yeah. The way he moved up, and he ran for governor on a cliffhanger show. We never know what happened. And he was lieutenant governor and budget director.
Yeah.
And a great role model. And funny, you know, never took himself too seriously. And that's why it was such a good show. And, you know, hearing when you interviewed Robert Guillaume, similarities between the man and the character. And, you know, may he rest in peace. A great actor. And, again, great interviewer. One of the, you know, your many accomplishments there, Mr. ITTS. So... Look at all viewpoints, but a line has to be drawn, and I think in our society, Glenn, we are finding a way to be offended by almost anything.
Well, you know what? I'm 74 years old, and I can remember as a kid thinking, "Boy, that person's got awful thin skin." We've always been offended by, you know.
The grower pair certainly is applying and. Hopefully, you and Ron can talk about that.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, I know. I mean, he draws a line like I do, and we agree on that.
Okay.
And
well, Adam,
we also have to look at the fact that some of this stuff is historical.
Well, thank
you. I mean, Dr. Seuss, I mean, part of my childhood, probably part of yours, Glenn.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to see where do we make that balance between what could be offensive, what maybe needs to be put aside, and what is a part of our heritage, and what is part of
our culture.
Well, Adam, thanks for getting that interview up, and thanks for calling in.
No problem, guys.
Have a great day.
We will TTYL.
Okay.
All right. 43 minutes and 30 seconds past the hour.
Okay, what's TTYL mean? Till tomorrow.
Talk to you later.
Oh, man.
Is that what it is?
Probably
maybe,
talk
Adam.
To you later.
Phone
thanks,
lines
Adam.
Are open 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. If the line's ringing busy, just means we're on the line with somebody else, so give us a buzz. Live from Stewart's tonight,
Season opener.
Oh, boy. Back in 60.
Scott, you know there have always been rumors that Florence Harding murdered President Harding.
Yes, I have heard that.
Well, it's a bunch of bunk. I'm here to state without doubt Florence Harding did not murder President Harding. Now, Nan Britton. Jury's out.
WWGH Radio, 107.1 FM. Don't miss it.
Adopt US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the Lingo.
GOAT, G-O-A-T, acronym, stands for Greatest of All Time. As in, spaghetti sandwiches for dinner? They're my fave. Dad, you're the GOAT.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt US Kids, and the Ad Council.
And we're back here, WWGH Radio, 107.1 FM, 740-383-9944. If there's anything you want to talk about, buzz in. If the line's busy, just means we're on the line with somebody else. You know, earlier this morning, we were having a conversation about the old drive-in theaters and why, you know, people want that back. And I think the reason is because there's a nostalgia. You know, when there were a lot of drive-in theaters and people were going to them every weekend.
They were going broke.
Right. Well, when the VCR came in, people said, wow, this is a better way to do it. But now that they're not on every street corner and that you're not going to them every weekend, now it's a nostalgia thing that you want to go to them. And I think that's what all this Aunt Jemima, Mr. Potato Head, Dr. Seuss really is all about. Nobody is trying to take away your childhood. There's always going to be a time where Aunt Jemima was on the shelf. There's always going to be a time where Mr. Potato Head was on the shelf. There's always going to be a time where Dr. Seuss books were on the shelf. Nobody's trying to obliterate your childhood, but change does happen. That's the only thing constant in this world, and people are allowed to have their own opinions. So I don't really understand. And you know what? A lot of things were written. And I'm not saying Dr. Seuss was. I don't know what he thought. But a lot of things were written in a different time. I'll give you an example. Like All in the Family, which was the number one show in its day. You could not write it like you wrote it then because there are words you can't say on broadcast television now that they said then.
Is that right?
Yeah. Well, you can't say the N-word, and they did.
Yeah. That's true. They had Sammy Davis Jr. on. He said that more than once. Yes.
Right. So, you know, we have to understand, I hope that we do evolve as a society. Mm-hmm. Now,
slowly, I'm afraid.
Yeah, but, you know, I don't know why people get, like the statue thing, I never understood. Because what it is, that taking something away from somebody, is that really hurting them in their heart that statue is no longer there?
I think you'd have to be of the class of person that it offends. I mean, there are definitely, slaveholders that they had statues saying what great men they were. I think if I were African American, I would be offended by that. But we have the problem with all of this is throwing Dr. Seuss' Mulberry book out of the window does not do a thing to feed a kid in Africa. And I think feeding a kid in Africa is a lot more important than that.
Well, what about a kid in America?
Hey, oh, yeah, of course, yeah, anywhere.
In Ohio. You know, this is something I don't understand why the homeless issue is not our number one issue every day of every life. I don't understand that. If I can drive through the Walmart parking lot in Marion, Ohio, and see somebody with a sign asking for food or money or shelter, we got a problem.
I think there are two reasons why it's not foremost in our thoughts. Number one, there are people that believe those people are scamming us and they're getting away with free money for you know, for asking for it. And then there are also people that are saying if they would just pull themselves up by the bootstraps, they could get ahead. And I have my wife was a social worker and studied at Indiana University to be one. And she educated me about a lot of these homeless people. And many of them, if not majority of them, are women with children. And bad times have come to them. And we forget that. Well, we want to blame it on people being lazy. It's not people being, yeah, of course, there's going to be some people that are lazy. But there are lazy CEOs that are making $30 million a year that are getting away with murder. So you just got to let it go and help your fellow man, in my opinion.
But, I mean, is it? I don't think it's very lazy to go stand out in the cold.
I was thinking that two days ago when it was so cold and nasty. There was a gentleman coming over by where you work with a sign, and he was lugging three or four packages and his sign so that he could sit out and ask somebody for work. And I thought, boy, that's the hardest job anybody ever had.
Well, I hate to say this.
Ted was that way. Ted Williams.
Absolutely. Well, and I hate to say, but the truth is there are kids who go to Marion City Schools right now and other school districts in this county who are homeless. And the school is completely aware of it, but out of shame that the family feels, and I think the kids feel a lot of time, they will not admit it. So the school has to sometimes come up with creative ways to get them food and get them showers and things like that. And it's an awful situation. You know, there are people living in vans in the Walmart parking lot. It is awful to think that that's going on. What is lazy about that? What is, why would you want to do that?
Well, you know what the complaint would be is they got a van. They must be rich.
The problem has always been beyond me because I don't understand why that's not in the forefront of everybody's mind every day. We worry about potholes. We will complain about potholes and the weather and prices in stores and minimum wage and everything under the sun, bad food. But, you know, the guy sitting out there in the Walmart parking lot in the cold, well, he's lazy.
He didn't have a car to hit one of those potholes with. He had to walk there.
It's beyond me, and I don't understand why more is not being done about that. You know, that's great. You can put, you can have downtown apartments, and we give awards. I'm so tired of awards giving out. You know, gee whiz, take your award and put it somewhere. Go ahead, Colin.
Hey, Scott.
Yeah.
Hey, you talk about Stewart's Root Beer Stand, okay?
Yes.
A woman from Mansfield opened the first one here in town in 1926.
Oh, really? Now, how'd you get that information?
Don Perrin, he had it for 17 years. He's the one that runs Grand Prairie Flea Market.
Yeah.
Don knows the whole history of that because he bought it. But she was the first one in 1926. Started it, and she had it for so many years. Then down the line, he had it, and then a school teacher. He knows the whole thing about it.
So 1926, so that would mean that today's opening would be a seminal one. It'd be a five-year, what would that be? It would be 95 years.
95. Hmm. Her name was Pearl Levine.
Oh, well, let me write this down here.
Pearl Levine, huh?
Get me an index card here. I need to write this down.
Pearl Levine. But if you really want to know, honestly, you call Don Perrin. I give you the number up there at the flea market. You know.
Well, is he free now? Have him call in.
Yeah, that would be
great.
Well, I told him, but he's working. He runs his market about till noon, and I think his help comes in. So you'd have to call him after 12, probably.
Well, I tell you what, I will do that. Hey, thank you for the information, Pearl.
Great information. Yeah.
You want his number? I think his number is 387-2299.
I will give him a buzz.
Don Perrin.
Thank you.
Okay.
Bye-bye. They have some terrific cheese out there, too.
Now, if anybody's out there with Don, just tell him to give us a call, 740-383-9944. But how about that? Now, this is interesting. I'll be able to talk about this tonight. Pearl Levine was the original owner of Stewart's Root Beer, and the Marion branch opened up in 1926. So tonight's 95 years.
I wonder how many are still open.
You know, I don't know. I know the first one opened in Mansfield in 24, So we came 2 years later, I guess.
Well, there were several, though, weren't there? I mean, you know, a dozen or so?
You know, I know at one point there were. I don't know how many there are now. A few. Yeah. A handful. I don't even know if the one in Mansfield still exists.
Well, the other thing, well, you're getting a phone call, so I won't start
Mrs.
this
thought. Levine. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, Scott, I just called you. Did I give you, read that number back that I give you on the Don Perrin up there?
740-387-2299.
Yes. That's it.
Perfect. Okay. Thank you.
Great.
Thank you.
Thanks for the
bye
info.
Bye.
Yeah, and again, phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. If Pearl's family is still alive, they can give us a
that
call.
That would be cool, yeah.
Yeah, who knows? Pearl might have had some kids.
Yeah.
Pearl Levine, 1926. So today is the 95th grand opening of Stewart's Root Beer in Marion, Ohio.
Yeah, and it's a sign of things to come, the spring. And now, I'm amazed, the president just announced that every adult in the United States will have the opportunity to have a COVID shot by the end of May.
Well, this is good.
Yeah, absolutely. It was going to be July, and now it's May.
And Johnson & Johnson has sent their shots out, the one shot.
Right, and they've been joined by... who's the other company that joined them that's helping them get more and more out, and that's why we're able to give everybody shots.
So what do you like when you go over to the root beer stand?
I love root beer floats.
You know, I think they open in like 5 minutes.
Well, let's go.
Open at 11.
Bye-bye.
Well, I know they're open for lunch. I don't know, you know. Maybe we'll call them next hour.
That would be cool, yeah.
Yeah, we'll give them a call. Are you open? We'll give them a live call. But we'll be there tonight. Mary Ellen Withrow, Abby, Angie Evers, and Michelle will be and Nate anchoring it all back here in the studio from 6:15. No. You know, Glenn, I got to write these things down. 6:15 to 8. 6:15 to 8 tonight. And that will be following Nate's show, which is on 4:15 to 5. So it's a great night here.
He's
on WWJ.
He's just going to hang in a little longer. Huh?
Hang an hour, all maybe right. Get a bite to eat, sit back and relax, and then we'll come up on the air at 6:15. Eight. Now, we will take a break at 7, by the way. Probably eat, and then we'll come back at 7:15 and fill out the broadcast.
By the way, you can't see it because we're not on television. Scott's still got his bacon for this morning.
Yeah, well, that was a good omelet. And what I was choking to death on there while Adam was calling was a piece of the bacon, but I survived.
Oh, okay. Good.
I think. What about the refrigerator, Glenn? Have you seen the refrigerator here in the studio?
No, I have not.
It's cleaned out.
Oh, no.
No, Angie came up here
oh,
over the weekend
goodness.
And cleaned it out.
What a good girl she is.
Did you not see the picture online? We posted it.
I did not.
It's very big.
I've been very bad about going online. I got my Facebook was hacked, and so And I'm still a little confused. I now have 3 locations where my name is. And so I haven't been following a whole lot. I've been a bad boy. Hey, let me tell you, though. You mentioned 11 o'clock. Tomorrow at 11:15, I'm going to have Gary Tuttle on. Now, people would say, who's Gary Tuttle? But if you were around in 1970s through the 80s, West Coast distance runners were the everything to athletics. They were as important as NFL football. Well, maybe not that important. But anyway, distance runners out on the West Coast were very important. And Gary was one of those guys. He won 2 national championships, well, 3 national championships and 2 NCAA championships. And he came in 2nd in the Boston Marathon 1 year. And he wasn't even intending to run. He just followed his now wife. It was his girlfriend at the time. He followed her out there and said, oh, what the heck, I'll run, and he came in 2nd.
Wow.
Yeah, so we're gonna have an interesting day tomorrow, so tune us on.
That'll be at 11 o'clock.
Yeah, 11:15.
Right. You don't want to miss that for love nor money.
No, absolutely.
And you know what a beautiful day this is going to be. You were here last year when we did this opening at Stewart's last year.
Yeah.
It was freezing that day.
Yes, I recall that now that you said that.
It was awful. Mary Ellen had to be wrapped in a blanket. It was a homeless. But tonight, it will be much better, we can assure you. And we're going to go to break here in about a minute. But don't forget, Stewart's Root Beer tonight, 95th grand opening.
It'll be close
years.
To 50 degrees when you're doing it.
Oh, but thank goodness. It'll be like springtime out there. And we'll have a good time tonight, and we'll talk about the history of Stewart's Root Beer. We'll talk about what's going on there. You know, all the car hops will be there tonight, and all the...
Do they go around on roller skates? They don't, do they?
No, no roller skates.
Okay.
But we'll also have our group there of Angie and Abby and Michelle and
VIPs,
Mary Ellen.
Yes, all VIPs.
Well, two of those people are VIPs.
I'm not going to ask which two.
Well, Angie and Mary Ellen, I'll tell you.
Oh, that's mean.
How do you like that? Now, the other two, well, one owns the place, so I guess, you know.
Yeah, she'd be VVIP.
Big V, big I, big P.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to break. We'll be back in 15 minutes. Don't you dare go anywhere. Why would you? Don't even think about it.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM LP Marion, Ohio, The Talking Place. For Senator Sherrod Brown on presidential